You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to the School of Influence podcast, where the queen and king of influencer marketing, authors and professors Amanda Russell and Neil Schaefer, cut through the noise and dissect what makes brands and professionals influential. No fluff, just the real deal.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the School of Influence podcast, where we interview influential individuals in all industries and categories from all over the world. And today's guest is no different. This is a colleague of Neil's, who I know Neil is extremely excited to have, and I can't wait to get to know. So Neil, I'll let you make the introduction.
Thanks, Amanda. Today is someone that I know in the marketing space, known him for, almost a decade, if not a decade. It seems like a decade. And it's just by chance that we happen to be speaking at the same event in Schaumburg, Illinois. And Dan happened to be in the crowd for when I spoke, and we've had this great friendship and shared a lot of advice since then. So his name is Dan Ginges, and a lot of you that listen to this podcast, you might already know him. Back in 2017, he published a book called Winning at Social Customer Care, but since then, he's really talked all about customer experience marketing so much that, well, I'll let Dan tell you, but he has a brand spanking new book coming out pretty much at the time when this podcast is being released. So you'll want to get it while it's hot. And I'm just excited to, there's a lot of things we're going to learn today from Dan. But Dan, I'm going to hand it back over to you, my friend. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you so much, Neil, Amanda. I'm super excited to be here and talk with you guys. And yeah, it's pretty exciting to release a book. I know you've done it a number of times, Neil. And it's like if we can even pretend to know what it's like to birth a child, and I don't mean that literally, but I mean just all of the preparation and all the things that go into it, it does sort of feel like a baby. So I'm very excited about it.
Now, Dan, you have quite the corporate pedigree, and there's a lot of people who are probably listening, and when they think of influencers, they often think of like, you know, solopreneurs or what have you, but your work is all grounded in corporate. And you've had jobs like, you know, at McDonald's headquarters that other people would dream of having. So you have this corporate background, yet you are firmly independent and solo today. Maybe we can start with just that journey.
Sure. In other words, I'm crazy because I gave up the corporate paycheck to go off on my own. But I'll get to that. Yeah, I spent over 20 years in corporate America, climbing the ranks, mostly at big companies, Discover, Humana, McDonald's, but also at some smaller family-owned companies, a late-stage startup to get that sort of experience. And everything that I do today is kind of a collaboration of all of that. It's all of my background, plus the fact that I learned over time how to just be a really good observer of customer experience. And I'll give you a quick example of that. I was out to lunch with somebody and he wanted to know what it is that I do. And we were sitting at a booth at a restaurant. I said, well, I'm going to explain what it is I do. Did you notice that when we sat down at this table, the wall was dirty? And he's like, vroom. He looks at the wall. He's like, I totally miss that. I said, yeah, it was the first thing I noticed. Because when I walk into an establishment, that's what I'm looking for. When I get to a website, I am paying attention to how easy it is to navigate. All sorts of things. And part of it is because that's where I found my passion. I was at Discover Card. I was recruited by the chief digital officer to a role called the head of digital customer experience and social media. And I said to the guy, hey, thanks for recruiting me. I'm really honored. I was, internally recruited. Just quick question for you. I don't have any background in either digital customer experience or in social media. So why are you picking me? And he said something that changed the course of my career. He said, because I've watched you in business meetings and you are always wearing the customer hat. You are always trying to solve business problems from a customer perspective, not at the expense of profit, but making sure that the customer is represented in those decisions. And that's why he wanted me for the role. And since then, I really have been, have just fallen in love with customer experience and its relationship to marketing, because it is very, very tightly aligned.
But not everybody who is an expert in something as you are can have a successful solo career, become a sought-after public speaker, write a book, which undoubtedly is going to become a bestseller. So there's obviously more to it than just the expertise and the experience, right?
Well, so that same boss, it was really interesting. The first end of year, you know, review time that I was with him, we were also supposed to do these, I think they called them IDPs, individual development plan. It sounds like a corporate thing, right? And I was like, I always hated that stuff. I'm like, what am I supposed to write in here? And he said to me, yours is really easy. I want you to write one sentence. I said, okay. And he wrote the sentence for me. He said, I want you to become a recognized expert in digital and social. I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, what? How do I know when I'm how do I know when I get there? I have no idea. By the way, fun fact, if you go to my Twitter handle, my profile at dgengis, and it shows the date that you joined. The date I joined is the date I took over that role, because I figured, man, if I'm running a social media team, I better figure out what this Twitter thing's all about. So literally that's how little experience I had. And he's like, well, go out and become an expert. And so when I asked him what that meant to him, and this is where we get to the influence part, he said, I want you out there at conferences, on social media, on stages, talking about Discover. And I want you to help spread the word through thought leadership, because that's what he thought the company needed, was somebody out there that could kind of spread the gospel, but not in a sign up for Discover card kind of way, but in a, this is a really cool company that maybe you haven't heard of or haven't paid much attention to, especially you folks out on the coast where it's not nearly as big as it is in middle America. And so he gave me that platform. And I remember the first time I had to beg my way onto a panel at a conference, and then I started getting asked to be on panels. And then I had to beg my way to my first solo speech, and then I started being asked to get solo speeches. And eventually I went off on my own, and now I can charge people for solo speeches, you know, which I couldn't do when I was in corporate America. So it has been an evolution. And where I sit right now, my joke to people is I love working for the Dan more than I liked working for the man, because I love just being able to do my own thing and do what I love. And I'll say to one thing to those of you out there that are in a job that you don't love, the one thing that I overlooked in my 20 years of corporate America and underestimated was the value of doing what you love. So I focused on my title and my salary and my bonus and my stock and raising and climbing the corporate ladder and all that stuff. And never once did I really think about, am I doing anything that I love? And I realize now that that is worth so much, and it should be much higher prioritized by people.
So you have kind of both components, and, you know, an influencer marketing, to break the stereotype of the social media content creator star, I think two of the most powerful influencers that a company or a brand can have is their employees and their customers. And that's basically exactly what you do. And you talk, you mentioned something before we started recording about empowering sort of the employees, or maybe I'm like, did you say that on the call or just something I read? But it's something that, you know, I'm actually just wrote a case study on MasterCard, and that they've done really well, given their employees, given their customers, the tools, the infrastructure to do that. Can you talk a little bit about, like, when people say that, or companies are reading that, they're like, okay, so what does it, yes, that's a great idea. We would like all our employees to be ambassadors. We would like all our customers to be walking billboards and advocates. How do we get them to do that? Can you walk us through some, like, maybe examples or takeaways on where do you start doing that?
Absolutely. And I'll use Discover as an example, because I think it's a good learning example. The first thing that I noticed at Discover that really surprised me about employees was that not every one of them used a Discover card. And that was so bizarre to me. I went and got one on the first day that I was an employee. I couldn't wait to use it. I like was proud to go to the grocery store and show it. That's my company. And well, okay, I'm a rah-rah cheerleader kind of guy. Not everybody's like that. But when I talked to my teams, I reminded them that, look, if you're out at a dinner party and you're not involved with work at all, but people know you work for Discover and you pull out your Amex, what do you think that's telling people about how, about what you believe in our product? And so I tried to encourage people, like, look, you're always an ambassador of the company, whether you want to be or not, because especially now with, you know, with LinkedIn and with, I mean, everybody knows where everybody works. It's not that hard to figure out. And so, yeah, if you're at a dinner party, you better be pulling out that Discover card, because that just doesn't look good for the brand. So that was an easy thing. And it, you know, it's about becoming a customer of your own business. It's one of the top tips that I give to people for customer experience. If you are not a customer of your own company, then you have no idea what it's like to be a customer. You can guess, you know, but you're really viewing it from the inside out. You're viewing it from the programmer's perspective, from the developer's perspective. You're not viewing it from the customer's perspective. This isn't possible in every industry. I get it. And if you can't become a customer of your own business, then find someone who is a customer and attach yourself at the hip and literally walk through it with them. But then as it got sort of broader and I was empowered to go out and do things like speak and represent the company at conferences, you know, they had me go through media training and stuff. So I knew, you know, things I should say and shouldn't say. That was actually cool too, because then the PR team started setting me up with interviews. So I learned how to do interviews with the press and became kind of a quasi company spokesperson. But what I was telling you before we started recording is I have talked about Discover so many times on stage and in my book and in blogs over the years. And I haven't worked there since 2015. So it's been, you know, 6 or 7 years. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten off stage and people have come to me and said, I've never thought about getting a Discover card, but I'm going to sign up for one because of how you described them. It just sounds like an amazing product, an amazing company. So, you know, that to me provides a ton of value back to the brand. I'm sure that I have signed up hundreds of people to be Discover card members just because I shared stories about how we did business there. And it just so happened it was a very customer-centric company.
Yeah, and you're definitely a great ambassador and an exact embodiment of what an employee as an ambassador is. I guess that my question is more about how do you create the infrastructure or the culture to facilitate having your employees and your customers be that, because you are obviously that, but you're naturally that. As you said, you're naturally that way. If I'm running a company and I want, you can't really mandate a company culture, right? So how do you kind of create the opportunities to facilitate making people feel like they want to be part of the brand and talk about the brand?
Yeah, so I think it starts with hiring. I'll tell you, I've never shared this story on a podcast. It's one of my most embarrassing stories. When I was in business school, I was interviewing with Frito-Lay for a brand marketing position. And Frito-Lay, as you probably know, is owned by Pepsi. And they threw a curveball question at me that I was not expecting. And they said, name a brand that you are incredibly brand loyal to. And before my brain could stop my mouth from speaking, I said Diet Coke. Exactly the wrong answer, right? And you know what? This is going to come as a shock. I didn't get the job. And I actually think that was right of them not to hire me. Because if Diet Coke is the brand I love the most, I shouldn't be working for Pepsi, right? There were people at McDonald's that didn't eat fast food. Why the heck are you working at McDonald's then? I mean, so some of it is you've got to find from the beginning people who are going to be passionate about your brand. I mean, it just doesn't, I don't begrudge anyone that doesn't eat McDonald's. I don't eat it anymore either. But man, when I was there, I ate it. Now, here's something else that McDonald's did to get people engaged. They have, this was one of the coolest things, they have a test kitchen in their headquarters where the chefs, and they are chefs, are literally trying out new recipes. They're trying different formulas for chicken fingers. They're trying a new burger. They're trying a new dessert, whatever it is. And they would do blind tastings, but they would have employees come and do the blind tastings as well as customers. And that was like an awesome perk where we would go and I'd like try these new milkshakes or whatever and be able to comment on them. Well, what do you think that did? It got me more engaged with the brand, right? And it got me feeling like I was a part of something bigger. And so when I say you got to get everybody to be a customer of your own company, the flip side of the McDonald's example is we had a very real problem at Discover where we couldn't get credit cards into the hands of all of the customer service agents because they didn't qualify. And so here they are, they're answering questions on the phone about a website that they've never been on. And that's really tricky. you know? And so I do think, you know, look, not every brand is as sexy as a McDonald's or a Discover, but really with any company, you've got to find the right people and then get them, bring them into the product and the service, have them meet customers that love you and find out why, and kind of grow that passion. Yes, you will have people like me that are always more passionate than some others, but you've really got to invite them in. When we hire people, we teach them how to use the email system, but we don't teach them about our own products and services and really get them excited about it.
Dan, I also want to throw out that this is one from the history books, but back in 2013, when I spoke at Social Media Marketing World, the president, as he was called, of Diners, Eduardo Tobon, did an interview series where we interviewed all the speakers, put it all up on YouTube. So there's something to be said also about leadership and leadership's role in encouraging people to get involved. And I think you were blessed with an amazing leader. Can you tell more about just, you know, the role of leadership in, I guess, what we call employee advocacy or employee influencer programs or getting people involved?
Yeah, I mean, everything starts at the top. It just does. And, you know, when people ask me about, well, how do you gain buy-in in customer experience? Look, if you don't have a CEO that believes that customer experience is important for business, you got a tough road to hoe. I'm going to be honest with you, right? You've got to start with management. And, you know, yeah, there are some executives that really believe in the power of social media. Eduardo was one of them. Absolutely. He believed in the power of social media, which is why he wanted to be at Social Media Marketing World and to be present there and to connect with people like you. Lots of other executives are going to say, yeah, I don't know about that social media stuff. I don't want to be involved. In fact, one of my former bosses, and I will keep his name silent, once came to me and I was leading social media. And he said, I couldn't sleep last night. I was thinking about our social media. And I said, oh, I hope you were thinking about how much great opportunity there is. He's like, no, I was thinking about how we're going to screw it up. And this is what was bothering him, right? And so I said to him, this is literally the answer. And I mean, I'm sorry, this is, I can be some blunt sometimes, but man, unless somebody catches you running down the street naked and they take a picture of you, we're not going to screw it up. If that happens, damage control is going to be a little bit tough and you may have some nightmares to be thinking about. But ultimately, it's about educating your executives, whether it's social media or influencer marketing or customer experience, about the importance of then trying to tie it back to the business. The lucky thing for me with customer experience is there is a very direct tie back to business metrics. So if your executives are most focused on growing sales, I can tell you why customer experience helps you grow sales. Easy. Right. So try to speak in their language versus a lot of the mistakes, and you know this better than anyone, Neil, as social media was growing, a lot of the mistakes social media teams made were focusing on, ooh, we got X thousand followers and we got 27 likes on our post. And executives are like, what do you want me to do with that? That's not worth anything to me. But when we got to the point where we could say, oh, and we got 100 new customers who bought from us off of this Facebook ad, and we did this and this, now you're talking in a language they understand.
So Dan, as we get near the end, I want to make sure we make room for your upcoming book. And if I was to ask you, is customer experience everything? You'd say, yes, I know you would. But I had an aha moment where I'm on an advisory council for a global educational institution, and they did an interview of 500 CMOs from around the world. They said, what is the number one most important thing to you today? And it was customer experience. And they said, it's the final way, the only way in which you can truly differentiate your brand today. So given the background, I framed it up very nicely for you, my friend. Tell us, the experience maker, what are we going to, you know, what are you going to teach us in that book that we didn't talk about in this podcast?
Well, you and I are both baseball fans, so I appreciate the lob up to home plate so that I can knock it out of the park. Thank you for that. You know, you're absolutely right. Competing on price has become a loser's game. It's a race to the bottom. Competing on product has become almost impossible because almost everything can be copied. Think of some of the most innovative companies of our generation, like Uber, which completely transformed the taxi industry and then promptly got copied. And I dare you today to get into a car and tell me the difference between an Uber car and a Lyft car. You can't. In fact, sometimes it's literally a car because the driver drives for both companies. So competing on product has become nearly impossible. If you can't compete on price, you can't compete on product. What's left is customer experience. Now, the good news is that customer experience is delivered by your employees. and no one has your employees. So every company has the opportunity to stand out and make customer experience a differentiator. The problem is way too many companies are focused too much on marketing and sales and bringing in new customers. And they're forgetting about the people that keep the lights on, that pay our salaries every day, our existing customers. So the book is really about how do we create experiences for our customers in a simple, practical, and inexpensive way that gets them to talk about us. And as you well know, word of mouth marketing is the holy grail of marketing. And it's not about teaching people how to create a viral video, because if we knew how to do that, we'd all be doing that. It's about creating experiences so that your customers become your best marketers. Because when someone else talks about you, it is far more credible, it is far more authentic than any marketing or brand campaign that you can put out there, because it's an actual person talking about how great it is to do business with you. So the book teaches you how to do that. Tons of real life examples, both from my career and also from lots of other companies in lots of industries, B2C, B2B. And they're meant to be inspirational. They're meant to, you're supposed to read them and say, man, why aren't we doing something like that? And then go back to work and create something like that in a simple and effective way. So it's a it was a ton of fun to read. I think it's going to be a really fun book to read. Sorry, it was a ton of fun to write. I think it's going to be a fun book to read. And hopefully we'll teach more and more companies to focus on our best asset, which is our customers.
So we've come full circle. The customer is the influencer of 2022.
Absolutely, 100%.
So that's the experience maker, available at every fine books. And of course, I assume dangingus.com would be the other place to send people.
Yes, you can go learn about it at dangingus.com, and it's available everywhere fine books are sold. Anywhere you can buy the influence, hopefully right next to it will be the experience maker.
And the influencer code as well, all together.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
The holy trifecta here. There we go.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Dan, thank you so much for your time today. Just best of luck with the launch. Hope to see you soon in person at a marketing conference sooner or later. If not, maybe NLCS, Dodgers Cubs.
Not for a while, but I look forward to it nonetheless. Thank you, Neil. Thank you, Amanda. Great to talk to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the School of Influence podcast. Amanda and Neil would be honored if you spend a minute to write a review wherever you are listening to this podcast to help expose these interviews to a broader audience. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. Even better, build your influence and ours by sharing this podcast on your favorite social media with hashtag School of Influence. We would love to hear from and engage with you.